I had my period, and he ate me out my period. I've never had anyone eat out my period ever, and it was the first time we'd had sex.
You know what they call that? A rainbow kiss.
The Dormio grin. Oh.
A Listener Production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Hello, everyone. Part two with Georgia Grace and Lucy Wall. Wow. Feels like we're on Oprah or something. Okay, so we made a butt plug. Yay! If you want to hear all about the butt plug, go and listen to the previous episode. Go to my Instagram. Go to the normal Instagram. Go to itsnormal.com. Go anywhere on the street. I'm sure someone will be talking about it because we have been going hard. But we decided to do listener questions about the butt plug and anal in general because we have gorgeous Georgia Grace here, sex coach. We have Lucy Walk. I mean, founders of Normal. I mean, how more perfect could we get than the two? What the fuck? You know what I mean? Nothing better. And we have me. And we have a gay man. And we have a lesbian. Yes, so really, we've got bases covered. We love it. Every hole filled. So we're just going to ask quick fire-ish questions that are from listeners about anal. First one is, what if I have digestive issues, comma, diarrhea, question mark?
I mean, I would think that in this case, maybe you're refraining from all kinds of sexual experiences because if you have diarrhea before sex, you're probably feeling unpredictable. You're probably feeling a little bit unwell. So just like anything, maybe just drink some water, have some lemonade, rest.
Okay, but do you think maybe they mean like I have soft poo?
Shit, okay. Yeah, yeah, cool.
I don't know if I have like active diarrhea. Yeah. I mean, you're going ginger ale, go to your GP.
I'm not qualified to help you with your diarrhea. Okay, so.
I love this.
I love the willingness of you to answer that.
Yeah, and the concern on G's face going, so, okay, step one, lemonade. Step two.
My mum's always like lemonade for everything.
Yeah, some stool hardener, and if it gets bad, go to the hospital.
I can't help it. I can't. I'm not saying I can. Okay, so yes, I think that we did cover in the other episode the fear of poo. But there's, like we said before, you will not be making yourself have diarrhea. There's probably something else going on in your digestive system if you do. But to support yourself in feeling really prepped and confident going into this, as we said last time, it's, you know, having a quick shower, not doing anything anally if you're allergic to dairy and you've eaten an ice cream, not after a big meal. But ultimately, poo isn't stored in your rectum. You're not going to be putting the plug or your finger directly into a log of poo. It's often this, you know, fear of shitting yourself.
I love that it's a log.
Log. It's very visceral image. Into the
it's
log.
Giving honey log.
Oh! That's beautiful. Oh! Rebrand. Let's rebrand.
Oh my God. We've defamed so many brands and people during these episodes.
Sorry.
Honey log.
Yeah, or aligned with something that's really pleasurable and maybe they'll love it more.
So true. That's so true. Yeah, so the diarrhea, I mean, obviously if it's consistent, go to your GP, even though we're laughing. But I think if you have like generally softer stool, you can just prep. As you were saying, you can douche, you can clean yourself.
Think about a lifestyle approach.
Yeah, and this is going to be really silly, but also it's a plug, so it actually could stop the diarrhea.
It's actually helping. Yeah, and I think the main thing is just go really slowly. Like insert it really slowly, remove it really slowly. If you're worried about it, you know, go to the bathroom and leave whoever so that you have a moment to yourself. But yeah, there's a lot you can do to prep so you're feeling okay about it.
And like we said, I think the biggest tip that we've learned from this is just try it by yourself first. So if you have concerns about your state of diarrhea or your state of your IBS or whatever, try it on like a medium bad day and then you won't be embarrassed. Nothing bad will happen. You just might have some poo, but I don't think you will.
Yeah.
But you can see the worst case scenario and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, you get used to it. You know that it's actually fun and pleasurable.
Love it. Someone said, worried it can go up.
This is a really common question. The answer is a flared base. So essentially you have a base that's like wider at the bottom and that prevents it from going up and never coming out.
Yes. And we have a flared base, and don't try and push the flared base to see if you can get it up. That's not a fun game, and that's a game with no winners.
Yeah, and the reason...
Is it for Medicare?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The reason that for the flared base too is like the way that we were thinking about it when we were designing it is to make sure that it's still comfortable when it's inserted, and that's why, you know, it's soft and it's round, but it's wide enough to make sure it won't go anywhere that you don't want it to.
So use the flared base as a stop sign. Don't go
don't push
beyond
it further.
The flared base. Don't try and get it further up.
And also the ring of muscles like kind of naturally clenches as well. So like I think a lot of people are like, what if I have an orgasm and like I suddenly lose control of everything? Like that's not how that will work.
Mm. Yeah. It's the opposite, isn't it? When you become tense.
Yeah, so, like as you're reaching a climax, you get tighter.
Love. Third question is, what if it makes me need to poo? It won't. G?
Yeah. I think that this is, again, similar to the first question, that it's a plug. So if you feel like you need to poo, take yourself to the bathroom and pause. But yeah, the feeling of having something inside of you, sometimes people say, oh, it feels similar to having like a poo inside of me, but that's just perhaps because you're not used to this feeling or sensation. But like any kind of sexual experience, if you need to wee, if you need to poo, if you need to blow
like
your nose.
When you go into like, the movies together, you're like, bring your jumper, yeah, wee, yeah, poo, yes, blow your nose.
Drink your lemonade.
It's sugar in it.
Yeah,
yes.
You're a human body, and human bodies do human body things. And also sometimes we pause during sex, and that's totally fine. So if you're feeling like your body's having this function and it's needing to have this function, cool, pause, stop, go do it, and then come back. It's really human for you to feel anything, but just like any other kind of sex, things can happen during anal as well.
Also, another thing with a lot of sexual experiences is like your body has like systems that kind of switch on and off. You know, it's like your body is like, oh, we're in reproduction mode now. Like, let's focus on reproduction. Mm. Or like you'll often find like if you're really stressed, your body is like, I don't really want sex because I have to go deal with this tiger that's chasing me is like what's happening in your nervous system. Yeah. So I actually think as well, like a lot of people might have that fear, but like while you're having sex, your body is not going to be kind of like pursuing a lot of other functions. Mm. Like it's like, oh, cool, we're in sex mode now. So like also worth kind of remembering that like we kind of have systems for this as well. Mm. That, yeah.
Which to speak to another bodily function, and this isn't about anal, but side note, you know when you've had, for people with vulvas, or actually for people with penises too, but like when you've had an orgasm, you feel like your urethra is like really swollen, so you try to go to the toilet to do a wee after and it kind of takes a little bit longer because
then you have to turn on the tap.
Yeah.
So
because it's a wreck.
I go,
and you're
shut
like,
up,
wait.
Shut up. So like, do you need help? I go, no, shut up, wait. I'm like trying because UTI queen, or like sitting in the shower going, don't talk
imagine
to me.
Imagine a waterfall.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was just me with my UTI issues.
No, it's everyone. Great. Because your urethra, which is like the tube you wee from, that gets erect and it swells when you're aroused. So it kind of pushes on the place that you're supposed to wee. So yeah, it can, yeah, take
a
little bit longer.
Wow. Okay. So needing to poo isn't really a worry. But again, I just think if you try things out by yourself first, you feel more confident with other people. Because the poo thing I think is more around being, it's obviously entirely or almost entirely the shame of someone else seeing your poo.
Yeah.
Witness to the poo. You know what I mean? I'm going to draw like a sketch of the poo.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think if you do it yourself, you're able to see. And then you can also do it like in the shower. Like I've been saying, if you're worried about mess yourself, do in the shower, there's going to be not much mess. Just, yeah, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I told my reindeer poo story on my podcast like 3 years ago where we used anal beads, and because my boyfriend at the time was rolling the anal beads in and out, it kind of created little lumps of poo like
sculptured.
Like reindeer poo. And what happened was it was just on the bed, and I thought, because we got a charcuterie board, I thought it was a grape. I didn't eat it, but I did go to pick it up and I went, that's poo. That is not a red grape, that's poo. Now, I told all of you that story. So you guys can be a little bit brave and you can try the butt plug.
I also think that, like, if you're having, I think it's just the bare minimum. If you're having sex with a human being, you are human beings. Like, just have care and respect for each other to know that sometimes there is spit involved, sometimes there's cum, you know, sometimes there's ejaculate. Like, we're human bodies.
Yeah.
Do each other, like, the human grace of being able to, like, not shame you for having a bodily function.
Yeah. I've never been shamed for having reindeer poos on the hotel bed. So that person, that was their one positive trait. Someone said, how do I get over the stigma of anal being bad? I like this.
So I think that a lot of what we can do here is start to examine these thoughts that we have. So often what I like to do in session is look at this individual and say, you know, they may come to me and be like, I feel really bad that I feel bad about this. Like, I'm a sex positive person, but why do I still feel bad about this sex idea? We really need to look at the larger systems at play, the bigger systems of oppression. And that is homophobia. The fact that so many of us have been brought up and told that being gay is bad, or exploring your body is bad. But even looking at the system, or like the lack of sex education, that the majority of us weren't taught about pleasure at all, and especially not about anal pleasure. So when I do that in session, I'm saying that you're not the problem for having this idea. And actually, you're less of a problem because you're identifying that you want to work on it and you want to overcome it. It's actually so many of these other things that are affecting us and how we feel comfortable exploring or accessing different types of pleasure. Then it's a little bit of self-inquiry, and that's thinking, you know, where have these thoughts come from? Do they align with my values? How can I challenge them? And then a lot of the work that I like to do is also rewriting those scripts through following pleasure. Because when we can move away from something that is challenging or we feel ashamed about, and we can refocus it to what feels good and to following pleasure, that's like the most radical form of resistance against homophobia or, you know, all of these other systems of oppression, because we're saying, this is my body, I can experience pleasure through it, and I'm not attaching to all of those other scripts that aren't serving me anymore.
I think that's so, so true. And like, one thing that we've had a lot as a question is like, oh, like, why release a butt plug? And like, I think there's even sometimes like this thing underneath that that's like, oh, like, are you doing it for attention or because it's like racy?
Mm.
And I actually like my honest answer is like orgasms and pleasure. Like, yeah. You know, I think actually like, and all of us have experienced probably like a less intense version of this in our own relationship with masturbation and with sex itself and with partnered sex, where like we've probably grown up in a pretty sex negative culture and like have had to kind of deal with like our feelings about those things and like hiding wanking or hiding your first vibrator from your parents or whatever in like that form. And I think this is kind of similar too, just being like, the reason to do it is because it feels good. Mm, it yeah. feels amazing. And like, that's that, you know, that's why. And I think like being able to kind of even just turn down the noise a little bit on like the racy view to just, and yeah. actually just learn about the pleasure and educate yourself. Because I think even that like can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Just be like,
yeah.
And cool. then having yeah. conversations with people about it, because this is what we saw a few years ago when someone would be like, I have a vibrator. And then someone else is like, oh my God, I have a vibrator. And if you can speak openly about this, and it might not necessarily be, I'm really into anal sex. It might be, I'm curious about it, but all of these things are getting in my way. When we can speak openly about sex and pleasure, and we can see that, oh, that person's had a similar curiosity or a similar concern, or they've worked through their own thing around shame, it starts to normalize it even more, that you don't have to just like unpack it on your own. Actually being in community spaces or talking with your friends or trusted people in your life can do a lot to make it feel normal, because you're like, oh, I'm not the only person who's had this thought or been curious about this.
Yeah, engaging in education as well, that there's so much of on normal, not just about anal, it's about everything, even body image, and there's so much out there that you can engage in and then learn the language to be able to speak to your friends about it. So I think there were even conversations like 5 years ago about how do I let like straight cis women being like, oh, how can I convince my boyfriend to let me use a vibrator during sex? And that was a whole conversation. Now that isn't even a question. Like, that isn't even it's top. And that's come from people having conversations with other people, not really about like the amount of marketing or the amount of actual sales. It's all about people and community, like you were saying. So now we need to have asshole community, anal community. We love it. Someone said worried it will hurt. We went through this in the other podcast, but
yeah, it shouldn't hurt. Sex should never involve any unwanted pain. If it hurts, stop, pause, slow down. You may want to try externally first, adding lots of lube, starting on your own. But yeah, this toy is not made to hurt you. It's made to make you come. So yeah, if it hurts, stop and try something else.
And there are a few things about, oh, sorry, you go, Lucy. Oh,
I was just going to say, like, can be a good exercise even to just like reflect back on like, where did I get that idea? Because a lot of the time it'll be like, I've picked up horror stories as like the butt of a joke in a conversation with a group of, oh my God, it's there again. It's never ending. But yeah, like, you know, like you've like, oh, like that was the punchline of a joke, but have I ever actually looked at any information about anal sex and how to do it safely? Or like I've seen this like really hectic looking version of it in porn, which is like professionals who probably did a lot of prep before they actually started doing that thing, you know, like, yeah. So even just being like, oh, like curious about where does my idea that it's going to hurt come from? And then being like, where could I get more accurate sources of information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'snormal.com/ whatever it is. I also think what I was going to say was this toy specifically we have created in mind for the beginner who might be fearful of pain. So it's got a quite a rounded tip, like we said in the other podcast, but I'll go through it again. Quite a rounded, easily, happily. There's a rounded tip. The vibrations can minimize the pain because you're experiencing pleasure from the get-go. Also, you can stimulate other areas with other normal toys or just, you know, with any toys of any kind or rubbing, even just rubbing your clit while you're using it if you have a vulva or wanking your penis. Like there's ways to minimize pain. And if the pain is overwhelming, then it's not good and we should stop and regroup.
Yes. Pause. Regroup. Just pause.
Pause. And then, like, I got to that point. Like, don't feel like you need to get to the plug completely inserted the first time.
Yeah.
It's play.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Like, approach it the way you'd approach all other sex, which is, like, if it's not feeling good, like, no more. And, like, I think people have this, like, idea that anal exists outside the world of other sex. And it is, like, same principles as everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a Fisher?
Yeah, anal Fisher.
Fisher,
yeah.
That's how you say it. Okay, is this Rosie Waterland? if you know, you know. Yeah. Love you, queen. She did a whole podcast about it, so I didn't have to say this.
Okay.
She did a whole thing about her asshole. I feel like the last guy dumped me because I wasn't doing anal with him. That's it. Can you do anal play with a Fisher?
Oh, okay. Sorry. I would actually say speak to a GP, speak to a healthcare professional. This is, something that would be quite an individual thing that you need to explore. But like, if you have a hemorrhoid or like an open wound or anything, like it's always recommended to just not do anything sexually, but this is definitely a conversation to have with someone who knows your medical history, not anything that I think we could probably answer.
Yeah, and even maybe just like I think a lot of people hear a term like anal fissure and be like, oh my God, is it like a crack opening in the earth, you know, like volcanic something? maybe just like a good recommendation is actually do Google it, because most people who get them from just straining too hard to poop and they get treated with a cream and then you're fine.
Eat your vegetables.
I think where they can be connected to anal sex, it's often like having not prepared and like very hard pounding with no lube is like the kind of the general zone. So I think with something like this, like obviously just chat to your GP and everything like that, but the term can sound a little scarier than the reality sometimes.
Yeah. And same with hemorrhoids as well, like getting hemorrhoids. Yeah, same thing. Just, I mean, it's not going to if you're doing it aggressively, it might aggravate these things. But again, go to your GP. Enjoy asking your GP about if you can be fucked in the ass with the hemorrhoids. Find a good GP. I also reckon you can probably find some information online somewhere from a doctor that is speaking about anal
sex. Totally,
I reckon there is something
sexual
out there.
Sexual health nurse, like there are so many incredible people who will give you the information that you need to have safe sex.
Well, you could ask someone if you go to a clinic to get STI checks. I'm sure they have information there. There's a great clinic in Brisbane. I don't know if it's still there. Rapid? I don't know if... Do you remember Rapid?
I never went there, but I've heard very good things about it.
It's my dream. Yeah. It's like my dream world. Rapid in Brisbane is
idea number three.
It's my actual heaven. Rapid is my heaven because you can go there and you get on the spot. You just line up for an STI check. You can get all STI checks, including HIV and syphilis, so the blood test as well. HIV and syphilis are just by prick tests on your finger and you watch the result come up.
Wow.
Nerve-wracking, but yes. still yes. good straight away. So you know straight away rather than waiting 3 or 4 days feeling anxious about this. And you get a text in 20 minutes about all the other STIs. So you can do anal swabs, vaginal swabs, and throat swabs. So you do everything. It's the best place. It's free. Well, it's government funded, but it's free for the user. And I think it's from an LGBT incentive in the Valley in Brisbane. So if you're from Brisbane, you know how good you got it. You know, actually, when I go back, I go, I should go to Rapid while I'm here. Like, I love Rapid. I also found an online STI check that I'm going to try and use and get back to everyone. But it, you can get the referrals online.
They send it to you?
Send it to me. I'm going to see if it works. So,
yeah, we've seen the model tried in a bunch of other countries. And it's, I think, like someone's starting to do it in Australia.
Well, it's insane. You have to go into a GP and pay to go to a GP just to get checked for something that it's like.
You can pee on a stick.
I'll just swab. So I'm gonna try and do that. But I think it does work.
On the STI front, can you get STIs from anal sex?
Yes. Just like all kinds of sex, like you can get STIs in your throat. Like this is why we always encourage people to engage in safer sex practices. So if you are having anal penetration with someone else's genitals, making sure that they're wearing a condom. There are also dental dams, which is like a sheet of latex that you can put over genitals or an anus. Yeah, it's just really important to have those safer sex practices. As well, if you plan on moving from anal sex to vaginal sex,
yes,
to wash whatever it is thoroughly, because all the good bacteria that is in your rectum, you know, you need it there, but you don't want it going to your vagina nor to your mouth. So really simply, just go to the bathroom and wash your toys, wash the genitals, wash whatever. But then some people might also be like, oh, okay, we'll start with other forms of sex and then end with anal if we don't want to, you know, take a few seconds to go wash everything. And it's the same for like making sure you wash the plug and every toy after you use it with a cleaning spray and storing it in our really hot toolkit.
And normal have a cleaning spray. So it's crazy. Yeah. Use code Abby for 15% off on everything except for option A. So the next one is, I'm worried it might stretch my asshole too much. Okay, this is a real fear that I had when I was doing exclusively anal. Doesn't happen. My asshole snaps back like a fresh rubber band.
Yeah. This is fresh. Exciting. I mean, this is like similar to the fear that I think we all had, or the myth we all had heard growing up, that was if you have sex, your vagina will become loose. Yeah. But the same myth doesn't go to penises, that if they have lots of sex, their penis will become flat, flattened. Mm. That, you know, these are really strong muscles and putting a small butt plug inside of you isn't going to stretch your anus.
It's also the stories about people having so much anal sex and they just have poo gushing from their assholes. That's, I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I'm not going to say it's not possible, but it's improbable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I have the joy of hearing lots of stories about sex and I have a lot of anecdotal evidence for this and I haven't heard of any real story of that happening to someone. Of course, we never claim anything humans are remarkable and things can happen, but it's often really useful to question those stories as, you know, ways of fear-mongering around, you know, making sure that people don't explore their anus rather than them being weighted in any reality.
Yeah, I feel like it's also probably homophobia that has created those stories about like gay men just shitting left, right, and centre. You know what I mean? Looks at Oscar. Is any person looks going, me wanting to chime in and me going, is that good, Oscar? Was that good for me?
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. You did very well. I was going to say also sexist, don't you reckon? Like, because it's almost like, oh, an anus could be, or like having penetrative sex with an anus is almost like having it with a vagina and that therefore equals bad because it's not really masculine or something like that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
I remember there was a rumor one time. Yeah, really well. Thank you, my ally.
Thank you, ally.
Ally. I remember there was a rumor one time going around Brisbane that I did anal with my boyfriend. That was it. That was the entire rumor. No, not yet. I mean, he was the one that I ended up getting fucked in the ass all the time by, but not at that point. We'd been dating for like 2 weeks. And there was a rumor going around, and it was like, I remember this is in what, 2015. And it was like salacious. It was, I was getting like texts about it. I was like, I mean, no, but like, if I want to, I will. Like, it was just so like, that's how, it's almost like you're, it's like slut 3000. It's like slut shaming 3000. It's like, and she also got fucked in the ass. Because there was two rumors. One of the rumors was I fucked the entire of the Brisbane Lions.
Was it? This was not the premiership winning period. This was like,
babe, no, you know they were losing all the time. Maybe they thought like that's why. Like I was the reason why.
distracting.
Yeah, me.
Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. Like,
yeah. But this is when I worked corporate. Like I did. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I had to, I don't even meet the Brisbane Lions, and then it was that I also had done anal, which was crazy. So you're right, Oscar. It also is another level of slut shaming about anal. Okay. How much work is prep? My queer male friends talk about how much work it is. Feels too much for a noob. I love that. Bit much for me. Now, I think, Oscar, maybe this is one for you about the cis gay male community. In my experience, my bottom friends do have extensive prep, but I would say it could be overkill. That's my opinion, and it isn't homophobic. As someone who gets fucked in the ass as well.
Yeah, look, as somebody, but this is the thing, because I top, I don't know the extent of it, but perhaps they do, but maybe they enjoy that. Are you suggesting that you probably don't need to go to that much of
I'm
a
saying,
degree?
Yeah, I guess you can, and it makes sense for people to want to do that, particularly if they're like, you know, at any moment. But do you know what I mean? Like if they're like regularly having anal sex.
Yes.
Not at any moment someone can come.
I've got to go, guys.
That's hot. That could be their kink. That could be their kink.
Maybe it's ritualistic in a way. Like there's something soothing about like there's a reward in the end and you're just like, you know.
And people like change their diets to, like we were saying before, we don't want to touch on diets really, but I feel like there are all levels of prep for this, from literally doing nothing like we spoke about in the previous episode through to changing your diet, douching and full enemas. Like there's all.
There's like butt scrubs. You can do stuff with hair if you want. Like there's a bunch of different things.
But anal
like,
bleaching.
Yeah. But yeah, there's almost maybe drawing a line between like what's like hygiene and what's maybe more cosmetic, for lack of a better word.
True.
Like I think you can make whatever choices you want around it and
And for some people it means that they can go into their sexual experience feeling really good. Just like you might moisturize because you want your body to feel like really soft and supple. Or, you know, you might make sure you have your lubes there. Like everyone will have different things so that they can go into sexual experiences feeling great. But it doesn't mean that everyone has to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I've done both. I've done a full prep, including like not eating Mexican the night before. And then huge sacrifice, big deal, GYG, love you forever, sponsor me. Again, another brand that will never touch me, Boost, GYG, fucked. And done a douching and, you know, and then other times I've done without much prep at all, just a shower and similar results. But like I feel like I've done it for people that I am maybe more nervous around.
Yes.
And then I've done it with people, and then I've done less for like boyfriends.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had that much of a change in my shame levels, probably because I'm more comfortable though with the person that I'm doing it with regularly and not prepping as much.
That's pretty common for any kind of sex too. Like I think when you're having sex with someone new for the first time, you might like do certain things to feel prepped for it that you wouldn't necessarily do if you've been having sex with them for a little bit because you're like, you know my body, you know my taste, you know what I look like.
So true. My ex, the first time we had sex, I had my period. And he ate me out my period. I've never had anyone eat me out my period ever. And it was the first time we'd had sex.
You know what they call that? A rainbow kiss.
Dormio grin. Oh.
There's another sponsor that won't be appearing on the show.
Okay. Everyone just tells the sales team to just avoid these. Fuck, the Dormio grin. That could be goosebumps. That could be goosebumps.
Who said that to you growing up?
Lucy's got her hand going, are you okay?
That's what they said at school. If someone went
that
down
did,
on
that
you.
Did.
But it just.
Sex said, they're going, and we also have the Dormio grin.
But,
sponsored by Dormio. The giraffe. The giraffe.
I'm really
happy. Harold, the giraffe's going, sponsored by Dormio. And it's going.
But I mean, this is just such a myth too, because like that's it. When you have your period, like it doesn't come out. Like if you're eating someone out and they've got their period, it's likely. Oh, okay.
Let's it was day one.
Yeah, yeah. Day one.
Squirt.
Okay.
It made me squirt. Yeah, and all over my bedroom wall. I'm not kidding. It was a spray. It was like a sprinkler, but of blood. And I was like, thank God I'm getting renovations. So I was like, I actually can't. This is like, I could get like done for a murder or something.
Did they
like,
have a dormir grin?
Actually, I can't really remember. It was just so hot. But I also was nervous about, the point is, initially, the first, I was like, whoa. And I was like, and also me, this is only like 6 months ago. This isn't like when I was 19. I was like, whoa, okay, I want my period though. So do you really want it? Because I hadn't been in my period before. And then after a few times, I was like, oh, this is so normal. So it's just comfortability with any kind of thing. I know, I just kind of was like, oh, like, I don't know. I just hadn't ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw it in Saltburn and I went, confirmed, horny.
Do it. It's so hot. And I mean, this is a whole other topic, but it also kind of feels more sensitive. I'm so proud of you for squirting. Do you remember we spoke about the how-to last time?
We did. And now I'm squirting, like I said to you when I saw you last, left, right and centre.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm squirting on command.
You just need to literally do the tap.
Literally, there's blood all over the walls at all times.
That's it's like really, really
in the renos, the walls are just kept getting painted. I got a Pantone of my period colour and it's just the walls are going to be that colour. No, but I'm squirting. But also it's only with one person that I've been able to squirt so regularly. Mm. So I'm actually, this is a whole other topic, but I'm getting nervous about new sexual partners and me having to request a squirt.
Yeah.
On the menu and them not knowing how to do it. And then me going, I know that I can. I know it's not me.
Yeah.
I know it's you. Yeah. So that could be a whole other topic. We'll see me finding my squirt again. You know what I mean? Back to anal. I think the more comfortable you get, the less you feel you need to do in general. And you're so right about other different, any sexual experience.
It's okay if you want to feel a little bit more creamed.
Also, if you want to get creamed, go for it. Worried about the delivery guy or anyone else seeing the delivery, knowing what's in there.
Oh, yeah.
We got you. It's like it comes in an unmarked bag.
Yeah.
And it's like billed discreetly. It's, you know, like.
And even the name normal is such like a nothing name. Not that it's something. That's something. Yeah, it's a great name. Great name.
It's a shit name. Toy company sent you.
It's not naughty but nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry for the free anti plug. Naughty but nice, but it's like, you know, it's just normal coat. It could be anything. It kind of sounds like skincare, to be honest. Price. I totally get it. Costs this amount, but it's so expensive. Cost of living. Here's my pitch. In this kit, you get a bullet vibrator, you get two different size butt plugs. We also can use butt plugs by themselves. They won't be as structurally.
They're structurally, they're fine.
But they are, but they
won't
softer?
Vibrate.
Yeah, they'll vibrate, yes. Yeah.
So they'll feel different.
You also, we discovered, can use them on your fingers if you have fingers the right size, which G and I and Lucy, we all do. So all three of us have different size fingers and we can use them to insert. You can use it vaginally.
P-spot.
Mm-hmm. You can use it vaginally. You can have, there's actually a little sheet in the in like the kit.
Literally like over a dozen ways
to use it.
And that's just what we came up with. Like there's more.
There's endless ways to use it. There's essentially three pieces in the kit. And there's, so it's like a 2-3-for-1 thing.
Yeah. And like the philosophy was like, you know, even if you use this to try out like anal stimulation, you're like, hey, it's not actually for me. Like that's completely fine. There are still tons of ways that you can use this like in any other hole and like position that you like. Like I actually really love using it as like hands-free vaginal stimulation. So being able to do like clit stimulation, obviously like, you know, having cleaned everything, but like doing clit stimulation with another toy, having it inside vaginally.
Whoa.
And then being like, you just get really like intense orgasms as well. Mm. And if you got a second one, you could do a butt plug and and clit. It's like the full.
Yeah. Whoa, thank God I have like seven of these at my house.
Yeah.
My dogs keep chewing them. Yeah. So I've got like a random assortment of like wires and like kind
dogs
of
chew. Love sex toys.
They love it.
Yeah. I think they're kind of, they're bright and squishy.
And we love it. But yeah, I there's lots of ways to use it. I totally understand. You don't have to buy it. Don't feel pressure to buy the sex toy. But also it's a good couples toy. We were talking about as well because everyone can use it. Anyone of any gender can use it. I think it's a great Valentine's Day present. You can, it's like, it's pleasure all around for everyone. So it's got multi uses, multi people can use it. exploration, fun, fun, fun. But totally understandable.
Yeah, you.
Grapes are currently $19. So I totally get it. Yeah. My partner is transitioning from male to female and I'm worried they will find it too much. Now, I wonder what they mean about too much.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, and transitioning, that could mean anything. Like that we don't really know what they're going through, whether that's an identity thing, what procedures, what sort of measures they're taking. If you're worried they'll find it too much and you're wanting to use this in a partnered situation, talk about it. You will have to talk about it before you do anything. And like anytime you're introducing something new to sex, but particularly when you're going through this big change in your life and probably in your relationship, speak about why you're wanting to explore it. What are you curious about? How will this allow you to access pleasure or explore a new fantasy? And if they find it too much, then celebrate that. Celebrate their boundary and their no. Thank them for letting you know. And then if you're really wanting it, maybe you can ask them, you know, what is possible? Is it possible for me to wear it whilst we're having sex? Is it possible to include any other kind of anal stimulation? That, yeah, I think that this is a really common thing when people are wanting to ask their partner for something, but they're scared they're going to react in a way, they're worried it's going to be pushing them too far. But then what happens when you don't speak about your desires or what you're curious about, it kind of pulls you further apart. I think that if we can create context where you're openly allowed to share your interests, it ultimately brings you closer together.
And if you're maybe you could also just send them some of our silly content and be like, thoughts on this, as like a if it's weird to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, or sometimes
this podcast
it can be nice
or something.
Yeah, like having that, like a lot of people will, like with the courses and whatever that we've made, be like, I really loved having it as like, instead of it being like me and my partner as two people having a conversation, there was this third thing that we could both react to.
Yeah.
And like, it kind of opens the space a bit.
Yeah. So there's heaps of education and there's heaps of community on the normal Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's totally to make them feel as comfortable as they can. Someone said, I don't know how to douche. Fill up the douche, squirt it up your asshole, poo it out till it's clean. is there anything more?
Just follow the instructions. Make some of them will be like, you need saline or whatever. Just like actually read the instructions is like the best way to do it.
It's really simple. Like when you use it, I use lukewarm water, just a hot tip. Well, a lukewarm tip. someone said, I'm worried I'll intimidate my partner.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of similar to what I was saying before that, when we have these sexual desires, we can have this fear that will be too much for a partner. And that's why having that conversation about it is really important. But you might also be surprised. Like they might say, oh, I've always been curious about it too. Or, yeah, this is intimidating for me, but they may be able to hold space for you to share your desires. That this is such a common fear that if you ask for something that you want, someone will shame you or it'll be too much for them. But a lot of human beings have desires. It's really, really normal. And I think you can work through a lot of that through really great communication.
Mm. Lucy, anything?
I think, like a lot of people, if you're trying to talk about something with a partner, like a nice way to do it can be like, yeah, I'm really open to it. No, it doesn't sound like it's for me. Or like, I need more information as well. And being like, oh, cool. Like, how could you step away from that and being like, can I go seek out education? Can I go check out something like this in pornography and see what I feel about it? Like, so it can just be nice to almost be like, it's okay to have that like middle space where you're not sure yet as well. Mm. And I think the more that you practice doing that with a partner, the easier it gets as well. Like one of the things I love that you say is like sexual communication is learning a new language. Like, and it's okay for it to feel clunky. In fact, that like you have to kind of feel clunky in order to then feel really like comfortable, and we just haven't had a lot of it role modeled to us. Yeah. So yeah, like actually just like it's all right if you're like, I don't really know how to ask this, but I'm just going to come out and ask it, and there's no pressure on you to like know what you think yet, but like I just love to like start the conversation, you know, like it's okay to just start there and go from there.
Wow.
And perhaps the intimidation could also be around the fear that you're saying your partner isn't good enough, a good enough sexual partner. And we've worked through this with other toys where you know, just because you're wanting to use toys, it doesn't mean anything about your body not being good enough, not coming quickly enough. It doesn't mean anything about your partner not being a great sexual partner. But these are tools. These are your friends. They're there to make sex feel better for everyone. It doesn't mean that you're not good at sex.
It's like when you're making an IKEA bit of furniture and you can either use the Allen key or you can use a fucking screwdriver. And like, it doesn't mean you can't do it with the Allen key. It's just like, I'd rather it be a bit more intense.
Teammate, not a competitor.
Yes, so true. Someone said, what's the best position for the first time doing anal?
You have thoughts on this.
I have thoughts on this. I personally think being on top. So like almost like if you have the knee flexibility, like squatting onto the penis, but also you can just do it like as you normally would, as I would normally ride. But if it's your first time, I kind of would like squat on, and after using the anal toy to foreplay or any kind of foreplay, really, whether it's eating ass or anal mapping or touching or vibrators on the outside or whatever you want to use, beads, whatever, then you can insert so you have full control. That's what I like most, because otherwise I tense up and I get really worried. Because even if someone like is the most amazing, considerate partner, sometimes also you want to like just get like get to a certain point where you go, okay, cool, I'm ready to get it fully in now. And if they're going really slowly, you need to have your own pace. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people also picture doggy when they think of anal, and that's just one of like a number of positions. Like I think spooning can often be really nice because it's like very relaxed. It means you're not tensing other muscles, like often like less kind of deep penetration. So it's good in general. Yeah. Or like 69ing or oral is like an amazing way to do with a butt plug.
Yes.
Yeah. Or even just missionary, lying on your back. I like if it. Your body is really relaxed, you're not tensing, you're not holding yourself up, it can be really easy to insert. But yeah, everybody is different. So you kind of try those and explore, and one thing will work for you.
Amazing. We've got two more questions. We'll answer them quickly. Is it medical grade silicon?
Yes.
Great. And the final one is, are you meant to have vaginal sex at the same time as using the butt plug?
Yes.
You can do whatever you want. You don't have to, but
we now know what Lucy prefers.
Yes. But yes.
Hearty support from me, though obviously choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're never meant to do anything during sex. Like it's you up. Lucy has different thoughts on this. Yeah. You're just meant to do whatever you want.
Yeah. But here are the benefits to having it. Bionic pussy. If there's someone with a penis is inside you, you are then vibrating. You have a bionic pussy. Your pussy feels better for you, feels better for them. It's joyous. You also have more pressure and the feeling of being full on the penis. They can feel the butt plug and there's a bit less room in there.
And you're stimulating all of these rich nerve endings. There's just so much.
Yeah. I would say, in my opinion, the more stimulation, the better. And this is an additional hole. Yeah. So I love this all round. God, Chooks, we're just the anal queens. We were anal for 2.5 hours today. Yeah. For 2 hours and 41 minutes.
That was very interesting.
So that's our podcast about anal. There is so much more for us to say, unfortunately. But we love G. We love Lucy.
We love you.
We love you. Oh, my God, guys. I'm so proud of our butt plug modular kit. If you want to get it, it's normal.com. You can use Abby. Code Abby for 15% off everything excluding option A. And honestly, I would encourage getting some sort of extra
get toy, the clit stimulator
or cock ring. Yeah. Side note, we need a whole podcast on cock rings. Yeah. That's for another day.
Yeah.
And that's it. All right. Find G spot underscore Lucy Skywalker Normal Co on Instagram. They'll all be linked. Also, just look at my fucking Instagram. But love you. Love you all. A Listener Production.